and bang. All right, we just going to get into it. All right,
All right.
What's up? Welcome back, goddammit, to another edition of Tell Me a Joke, the Guideline of Chasing the Dream. I'm your host, Maniacal Menace, Kyle Smith. Say the whole thing like a pimp named Slickback. And today, goddammit, today I got Mr. College Guy over here, Mr. the poet himself, Jada Sage. How's it going, man?
Going good. I graduated college.
Oh, you did?
I'm out of there.
You actually on your way to
med school.
To bigger and better things.
Trying to go to med school. That's the goal.
That's what's up.
Thank you.
Why? Was this the goal the entire time?
Pretty much, man. Since I came out of high school, that was always my journey, man. It was
really?
Always med school. That was the goal. Be a doctor.
Med school.
I really had no other options.
You're on your Grey's Anatomy at this point in time. Huh?
You know, I've actually never seen the show.
It's okay. I just started watching it.
Yeah, I didn't want nothing to predetermine what I thought the industry would look like.
It's not what I assume the doctor life would be.
Yeah.
You know, it's way too much sex going on in there. They fucking in the staff room and shit. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure these doctors ain't always fucking like this.
You said there was sex in there?
Yeah.
It's on Netflix?
It is on Netflix. But it is way too much provocativeness going on Grey's Anatomy and lots of relationships, lots of people getting punched and shit. And I'm like, this is the doctor's office. Why are we hitting people like this?
Like a lot more than just being in the hospital.
Yeah, a little bit. You know, but you know that's what makes great TV. Apparently,
yep.
You got to go ahead and make sure you got your sexy people, your sexy doctors, and boom, they hooking up.
People like to be distracted. Yeah,
it's a major distraction. How you deal with distractions?
I indulge in them.
You do?
Life is too short, man. You know, whenever something, I guess, takes my attention, I dive into it. I pretty much give every side mission in my life full attention.
Yeah.
I do.
How long you been doing poetry for?
Let's see. I started a little bit in high school.
Okay.
But I was more of a closet poet. I think I did like one little competition and that was it. It wasn't nothing crazy. It wasn't until I made it to college.
Yeah.
And, man, I found an open mic, started coming to it. Next thing I know, I was president of the organization.
What?
I started hosting, and I fell in love with it.
Yeah.
I started going to Avant maybe around my sophomore year.
Yeah.
And then, you know what's crazy? Me and Amir always talk about this as the host of Avant Garden.
Shout out Amir.
Right about now, poetry.
Right.
Yeah, so I used to go, never perform. I didn't perform until I graduated college. So I went for 4 years, just watched.
Oh, Jesus.
For about 4 years.
Just the anxiety of just having to go and not go up. Like,
man.
I couldn't. When I first started comedy, I told myself the first time I go, I'm going to just watch.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, there was no more just watching. Like, I got to jump in the water. Yep. Hey, I know it's going to be cold, but eventually it's going to warm up. So I hurried and hopped in there immediately. Like I can't just sit by. Like when I go to shows and shit, it is very hard for me to just sit out and just be like, oh yeah, I'm a spectator. But I do this though.
Yeah,
yeah. But I'm just spectating.
I'm the exact opposite.
Yeah.
I can really just not be somewhere and be there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
People watch, entertain, just be entertained.
People watching is fun. I do enjoy a good people watch. Like today, it's the Chinese.
It's a whole lot
Chinese
going on
New
right
Year
now.
Going
it's
on today. Yeah,
right
we
now.
Got kids with Pokeballs and shit.
Kung Fu Kenny's out here.
I wasn't prepared for the abundance of bodies out here, but I mean it's nice.
Oh yeah,
it's nice. Like we got the rooftop today. You got the roof. People are going to be very interested in what we got going on, which is usually a thing because, you know, you got a camera with a big old lens.
Two
and
black
shit.
Men's with mics.
Yeah. And it's like, what they doing? You see, you can stare. That's why I keep the headphones, especially for situations like this, just so you can drown out everything on the outside.
You're right. I forget people
you
know, are here
forget,
right now.
Yeah, you yeah. forget that people are here. Yeah. I've been doing this for quite some time to where it's just like, oh, this helps a lot. Because if you just had, like, I can go ahead and just test the volume and everything, but not have to use the headphones, but I noticed that if I use the headphones and, you know, we get robbed, I might not even notice. If somebody came up behind me, I wouldn't notice just because I'm so focused on what I'm doing. Not saying that it's a good thing to get robbed and all that. Never happened. I got my hands about me. But
I think I would still notice if I was getting robbed.
Hey, no lie, sir. No lie. I've actually had some kids walk up on us and I was
they Cat Williams you?
No. I wouldn't let a little 6-year-old choke me out. I'm a little more better than that. I'm a little better than that. Yeah, no, my skills is about me. But like they walked up on us and they just sat down. And I ain't see him until they sat down. Yeah. And it was like, what y'all doing? I'm like, well, we in the middle of a podcast at the moment, you know, and it's like, oh, okay. And it's
mic
like
me up.
I thought, you know, you would probably get hip to game, like, hey, we doing something right now. Mm-hmm. Don't bother us. You see the mic and everything. Mm-hmm. They just sat down and it was like, oh man, can we sit here? Mm-hmm. I'm like, sure. You know, entertain the youth, I guess. Mm-hmm. But it was a bit much.
You know, I teach, man, so I know the kids are nosy. They bothersome. Yeah.
What grade you teach?
Freshman. High school.
Ooh. Yeah.
And then last year, about 2 years ago, I taught 8th grade.
Yeah.
So it's just 8th grade and freshman.
What are you teaching?
Biology.
Biology. Mm-hmm.
That's my major, so it just works.
Come on. I went to school for marine biology. I wanted to be a marine biologist.
Yeah, yeah.
So when I went to college, I did 2 years. In my head, I thought I could do that Free Willy shit. Like, I wanted to, like, you know, train mm-hmm. killer whales and such. Until I seen Blackfish.
Blackfish. What was Blackfish? The documentary.
Yeah. And I'm like, man, I'm glad I didn't do that. Like, because now you see the people getting killed and all that by the orcas and shit. And it's like, oh, because we got them in captivity. Mm-hmm. And they don't want to be in this little bitty tank just swimming around back and forth with nothing else to do. I'm glad I did not go into that field.
You're a different person because I'm not scared of the ocean. I'm scared of things I can't see.
And that's, I don't like murky water.
You know what I mean?
I can't stand it.
What's below me right now?
Yeah, I don't
you know.
Know
what I mean? I don't know about that.
Yeah, I got a little bitty toes, but something touching. I'm never prepared. I'm never prepared for murky water. That is like a nightmare of mine.
I think being born a fish might be the most unluckiest outcome ever in life. Like, it's a scary life to live as a fish. There's always something bigger than you behind you.
Yeah. I've played those games where you're the little fish, and then the more fish you eat, you become the bigger fish.
Yeah. I see the ads.
I've always been a little fish my entire life. Man. So, you know, just to be a born a fish and knowing I'm going to be a little fish? No, sucks. I don't want
seen Finding Nemo. That's a horror movie.
I feel that. So your thought process on poetry, the things that you talk about, where does it come from?
Man, I try to take inspiration from anything. You know, I feel like if I looked at my list of poems, I always feel like I got some diversity. I got some things about this, things about this. If I find something that I want to write about, man, I'm gonna make it happen.
Yeah.
Most of the times, my inspiration, a line will hit my head. Right,
uh-huh.
I'm like, what's a fire line? I'll build a poem around that line. So it's not like I see a topic, I want to write about that topic.
Yeah,
I get a line and I just start from there.
Yeah,
and then I mold. You ever had an elementary man? Your teacher would give you whiteboards, and she took a little Expo and she made a shape, and then you had to make it a drawing out of that shape.
Ooh,
so it started as a shape, and you make a drawing around it, and you're supposed to spark imagination, whatever. That's how it is. I started with a line, and then I'd put lines in front of it, lines behind it, and boom, next thing I knew, I had a poem.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's my process.
I've done that with people that balled up pieces of paper. I was like, man, I don't know what I'm trying to draw, but look at this, Kyle. Look, it's like a half semicircle or something like that. Like, what can you do with that? And I, you know, because I draw, so like I would take it and then mold it into something. And be like, oh, thank you. Can I take this? I'm like, you can have it. You know, you was about to ball it up in the first place, but you know, since I have an overactive imagination, like most of the time, I just can't stop thinking. So one of the things that I used to do, which really helps me out with certain things, because I was talking to somebody the other day, that where I can't. Hold on.
Who are we looking at?
Just making sure that everything. It's always
stop like mid sentence.
It's always
what's going
a learning
on?
Process when it comes to this.
Hey, you doing your thing, though, man. It's, I don't know if y'all can see the setup here, but it's really professional right now.
We all still. I just get nervous just because you know it. Trying to be a producer and everything else. It's like, what do you just? That's what I'm saying. My mind just.
Because we've been talking for a minute. That would suck.
No. See, I got to make sure that everything is still copacetic as it's going on. But as I went to college, one of the classes. That I took. I went to Southeastern.
Okay.
Southeastern Louisiana University.
The
only reason I went there is because I was a cheerleader. And
really?
Yeah. So that was the when we went to cheer camp, that was the first place they took us, and we stayed in those dorms. So I was like, I'm familiar with this. Let's just go back here. And I went there, and it probably wasn't the place for me to go.
Yeah.
But you know, it was like, fuck it, I'm here. And one of the classes that I took, I took a creative writing class.
Okay.
And I also took speech. And that speech is what got me to being comfortable with being behind a mic and hearing my own voice. But creative writing taught me that as long as I can sit there and think about something for a minute, I'm able to go ahead and expound on whatever the topic is. Mm-hmm. And so what our teacher would do, first thing every time we would come to class, she would sit us down. She'd be like, all right, we got a 10-minute writing exercise. And she would put on like some type of music, just an instrumental or something. And from there, we had to take that instrumental and like write about what we thought about that instrumental. And usually, whatever I wrote was something way out of the ordinary. Just because some people would sit there and they come back with like two sentences. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I would come back with like the whole page written down to like, oh, I was in the castle riding dragons and, you know, a whole Game of Thrones type of scenario and shit. And then she was like, hey, I'm going to need you to be on the side of me. Yeah. I was like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. You know, I had no idea where that could take me mm-hmm. or where that could lead me. It was just that I knew this is what got me to calm down in class.
I'm glad you had a teacher that was willing to say something, you know, inspirational to you to push you to keep going.
Yeah.
My teacher would shut that down. And that's not what I asked you to do.
That's not what I told you to do.
You take it too far. Like everybody else. Everybody trying to so that's good. You got a nice teacher, man. That's
yeah. It helps. Like the mm-hmm. those processes in life is what actually gets me to where I am now. Because there's a lot of things that I'm like, man, what is this going to benefit? Just like algebra. I'm like, why? Like, algebra doesn't benefit me now, mm-hmm. but I think about it all the time.
I tell my students that, too.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to cut you.
Man, no, you're good.
So I teach biology. They be like, Mr. T, can I please work on my assignment in algebra real quick? It's due my next period. I said, we in biology. We don't give a damn about algebra.
Yeah.
I tell them, algebra ain't important. Biology is important.
Yes, yes,
the most important
is.
Class you'll take in his life.
Algebra ain't
they
nothing.
They get so mad at me when I say that.
Quadratic equations. What you gonna do with these parentheses? Nothing in life. Mm-hmm.
They said, "How can I use biology? Are you breathing right now? You're welcome." Biology. Boom. Boom. Biology.
I do. Biology was like it was one of my favorite classes
that's
to go to,
here.
Just because of labs and all that. I really much enjoy a lab, just to be able to go in. Work on things with my hands. I'm somebody that likes to be hands-on with mm-hmm. shit. And so just to be able to get in there and actually touch it and see mm-hmm. it and see what the outcome is mm-hmm. of it, that is it. It was just a good time for me.
I got some bad kids, man. So when it comes to experiments, maybe five of y'all can come up and watch me do it.
Yeah.
The rest of y'all sit in your seats and just stay back.
I feel that.
They some violent kids, man. A lot of when it comes to dissections and scalpels, I said, oh, no.
Oh, we can't give you these sharp objects.
None of y'all can touch scalpels. I work at A-Leaf. I said, no. None of y'all touching scalpels.
I know about A-Leaf. Mm-hmm. And A-Leaf is so. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of Mad Science?
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I work for Mad Science.
Okay.
Yeah, for like 3 months, and I taught a class for a week.
A week?
Yeah. And I didn't know that I didn't like kids like that.
Oh.
Yeah, now, kids.
You're going to learn quick.
Oh, yeah. Like, I thought, you know, there would be at least somebody there with me as I taught these kids.
Mm-hmm.
But they just threw me to the wolves.
That's
they were just
be,
like,
man.
Hey, you about their size. You'll be all right. They'll play with you like they play with their peers. And it, you know what?
How old were they?
They was from 7 to 11.
Oh, yeah, that's a mess. That's a wide range.
Yes,
11-year-olds are not like 7-year-olds.
Yes,
that's a wide
is.
Range.
And all their parents got money, so they stuck up. And they was like, here, teach these kids science. And I'm like, I like science, but I like science that I know. This science, I had to learn it myself. So every day was a learning process.
Yeah.
Every day was something that I had to study the night before, just because they gave me 2 weeks notice of this is what I was going to be doing. It was like, your background check came back good, all right, get in there. And they just threw me in there. And
the need for teachers is crazy right now.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, I didn't want to do it any more than that week that I did.
Mm-hmm.
It was just too, and then COVID came, and I was like, all right, we can go ahead and cut this short, because you know, I don't want to. I kept the lab coat though. They want that back. But nah.
You still wear it?
Sometimes.
You just walk around the house with it.
Yeah, it feels nice. Mm-hmm. You know, throw a little role play situation going on. I'm a mad scientist, maybe. This is what's happening, you know? So, in this poetry realm, okay. In this field of poetry, like, how long does it take you to normally write something? And when you do write it, how you know when it's done?
Man, that is a good question, because honestly, there are my, like, let's say a poem I wrote a year ago. If I find something worth putting in it, I'm gonna put it in.
Yeah,
I'm gonna keep. Man, I don't even know if I ever have a poem that I say is completely finished.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. I'm always, because your brain is always moving. You're mm-hmm. always learning new things in your life experiences. Let's say I have an idea for something, but it's too similar to a poem I already have.
Yeah,
I might just kind of break it down and find a place where it fits.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. I wouldn't want two whole poems that sound like the same. So I may just keep upgrading one over and over again. I don't know if that's something you're supposed to do. I don't know if somebody's gonna be like, ah, oh, no, that's bad. Nah, that's the same.
You got me thinking now. Because it's more like I got a part two to something mm-hmm. because I have poems that I'm like, all right, this one's good, mm-hmm. but now that I'm it feels like I'm rewriting yeah. the same poem, and mm-hmm. now I have a second piece to it, and it's like, oh, this one's a lot better.
Yep.
So what do I do with both of them? Like, mm-hmm. because they're very much similar, but one's better than the other one, and mm-hmm. it's like, I could just never let it see the light of day. Mm-hmm. Like, nobody knows that I wrote it, but in my head, I'm like, ah, but I mean, it's still good.
That's why I wrote a book. So I wrote a book for poems that I normally wouldn't perform in public. So it's like, if they're not really like performance type pieces, you don't really need any like no drama for it, theatrical moves for it. It's just a written out poem. It's better read than heard.
Yeah.
I put it in the book.
I'm trying to think about, I've always wanted to write a book, but I'm not sure how to actually start it. I have ideas of like what I want to do, like how I want it to go. Mm-hmm. But in my head, I'm always like, well, why does somebody want to hear my thoughts about what I have going on? Or like, why would somebody want to read what I put out? Just, I've always contradict myself when it comes to actually mm-hmm. doing something for the masses.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm never sure like how it's going to be received.
Well, I'm going to say something cliche. I mean, mm-hmm. that's why they say you don't do it for other people, man.
Yeah.
You do it for yourself.
Yeah.
And then when you do it for yourself, hey, those who like it. Those who don't, can I curse on here?
Yeah.
Fuck them.
Fuck them.
Fuck them. Fuck them. So, I mean, yeah, you know, when I posted my book, man, I was like, man, I really hope they do like it. I mean, I still hope. You still hope somebody enjoys it. That's the whole point, is for people to, you know, get into it. But at the end of the day, man, as long as you're proud of it, that's all that matters, man.
How long did it take you to write it?
Man, I want to say I started, let's see, it's 2024 now. I released it, I want to say 23. I started probably February 22. And a lot of the poems I already had in my notes.
Yeah.
They just needed to be refined a bit for reading mm-hmm. purposes. Because when you're writing a poem, no one's going to be able to hear it like how you say it, unless you, of course, do an audiobook. If you don't have an audiobook, how you write it is how they're going to read it. No matter how you say it, your own fancy way or mannerisms, whatever, whatever. How they read it in their own head is what they're going to hear.
Yeah.
So I have to refine it for reading purposes. You know, make sure it's nice and neat and, you know, all legible for paper.
Yeah.
You know, so compile it together and there we go.
That's it in my head, because just the way I do things and how my brain works,
mm-hmm.
I always wondered if I put something down on paper, would people read it the way I have it in my head?
And then once you get a manuscript, okay, give it to somebody else. That's what I had to do with my dad. I said, Pops, hey, I wrote this book before I, you know, even think about publishing it.
Yeah.
Can you go through it with me? And my dad read my entire book front to back about 20 times. And I'm like, every time I heard him say something, whoa, that's not how I would say it. Now, boom, I got to go back in there and tweak it a bit. Like, so how he just read it straight, as monotone as possible.
Yeah.
And that's what, because some people, not everybody has that artistic voice in their head. Something they're going to read it real monotone. And that's fine. So my dad, he read it like as a normal person would read it.
Mm-hmm.
And once I hear something that I have a problem with, that's when you got to go tweak it. So you got to listen. Let somebody else go through it first. You got someone you trust with your words. And
I got a homie. He reads a lot. I don't read as much. I prefer audiobooks. So
yeah,
I can definitely
go to audiobook.
I can definitely do an audiobook of it. And come, like, there's certain things that I've listened to. Because my brain, it doesn't work to where I can read and comprehend. It's just like, you know, I'll read a sentence and I'm like, what that bird doing right now? And then I am totally lost of whatever hell I just read. I can't comprehend that shit at all. But if I have somebody read to me, I am mm-hmm. totally for it. So I've listened to Doug Stanhope's Digging Up Mother. And basically what he does is he brings other comics in and he lets them read his own book for the audiobook.
That's nice.
And then he also comes in and gives little excerpts of what was actually going on at that period of time. And I'm like, Oh, so it doesn't necessarily have to be just a book that is read from beginning to end. You can also come in and fill in your own little, when it comes to the audiobook, you can come in and fill in your own little excerpts about it. And like that, like immersed me even more into the book. And I was like, oh, so, you know, I've got a few books under my belt that I can say, you know, I've technically not read, but read, you know, and it feels good to actually, you know, actually have some books under my belt that I'm like, oh, I got through that. Cause I can't get through much, you know. I can beat a video game, but that's about as close as the thing I can come to ending something, you know.
And so, I found that most people actually do appreciate audiobooks. Every time I sold the book, they said, "Man, I love this. Are you releasing an audiobook? It's an audiobook that goes with it. Everybody wants the audiobook.
Would you read it? Would you read your own book?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay,
I would do it one day. I mean, you know what? I should have been doing it.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't know why I procrastinated so long. I think I started the process, got a little confused, gave up, went on those situations, which is real lazy on my part. But maybe one day I'll go back and do
How
that.
How do you deal with procrastination?
I'm a procrastinator.
Yeah.
I am. It's terrible. It's something I'm working on. I would say making a list, a to-do list, postponing gratification. That's something really important that my professor taught to me. You know, sometimes the only reason I procrastinate is because there's something else I want to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, I don't feel like doing that right now. I'd rather do that.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I remember my professor's words in my head, postpone gratification, celebrate later.
Right.
Do what you got to do so that you are free of mind when you can, you know, celebrate. So that's one thing. More so procrastination, when you said that, I thought of writer's block.
Yeah.
And If you're talking in terms of writing poetry when it comes to procrastination, when it comes to writer's block, I don't write when I have writer's block. I feel like a lot of people have their own methods to conquering writer's block. I don't. So if it takes me a week to get back to a poem, then I'll just wait that week.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I'm at my most natural self when I want to.
Right.
When I have something in my head. I feel like when people force themselves to write, that's not what you would have wrote if you gave yourself time to process.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and so whenever I have writer's block, I just chill. I will go do something else. That's when I do procrastinate. So sometimes in my world, procrastination is a good thing.
Hey,
instead of finishing that poem, instead of forcing myself to finish that poem when it could be authentic and natural, I'm gonna go do something else.
Yeah, I call myself the procrastination king, the king of the procrastination.
Yep.
Like, cause I procrastinate on everything, and I'm one of those people. I've never just sat down, I'm like, all right, I'm gonna write now. It was never that, because I can't. That's just like telling myself that I don't like when people tell me what to do. I mean, but I understand I need to listen to direction in order.
Sometimes, you know, it's necessary.
It is. Like, I've learned that from my daddy. So he's like, well, you better do it or you ain't gonna be able to do this. And I'm like, okay. So telling myself to do something, it's like, nah, I know I have it in my head that yes, I'm eventually have to do this. So I just wait until the time that my body allows me to want to do it.
There you go.
And then that's when things just start to flow.
It's natural.
Yeah.
Absolutely. When it's structured and you're put into place, it's like working in a factory and you just pressing buttons.
Yeah.
You know, it's no freedom in that.
Yeah.
There's no freedom. When you're free, that's when you really write at your true self. Absolutely. Yes.
How do you deal with blood?
Like physical blood?
Yeah.
You get used to it. I used to be an attendant in a hospital.
Yeah.
So, man, you got to step on blood. You got to work through blood. Now, but I am a germ freak. So, I think we have a code. We have certain codes when people have certain, you know, they're sick, viruses, something in their blood. I hear any code. I'm head to toe, wrapped up.
Yeah.
I got we call them bunny suits. I got bunny suits on. I got three pairs of gloves. I got the footies on.
Yeah.
I got two wraps on my head, double masked up. You'd be like, Josh, don't you think you're doing a little too much? I'd be like, no, I don't think y'all are doing enough.
I don't think you're doing enough.
And the patient will look at me. I look like an astronaut. They get scared. I'll be scared. I'm walking out here the same way I came in.
Yeah, hell, COVID was a thing. It was real for a little bit. I'm not taking no chances. Yeah, I feel that. So what in your profession, in the doctor field, what are you actually going in there to do?
I want to be an orthopedic surgeon.
Okay.
But I've always been told, keep your mind open, because once you get into med school, once you start doing residency rotations, clinicals, you're going to get exposed to so much that you're going to might change your mind 1,000 times. So really, my mind is really open to any possibility in the med field. I'm kind of just waiting to, I just really feel that right spot where I belong. And once I feel it, then boom, that's where I be.
Ah, you know? So when that happens, what will you do with the poetry side?
I mean, Man, what's that actor that was a doctor? What's his name? The Asian dude.
Ken Jeong. Ken Jeong.
The one, is that the one who was in The Hangover?
Yes.
Yeah. So, man, he was a doctor and an actor, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if he still practices medicine, but
nah, I don't think he does.
I can't imagine if there is free time to still enjoy that.
Yeah.
You know? And that's years down the road. I still got time to, you know, continue performing, still writing.
Yeah.
But you know, I just, life is too short to lose art. You know what
right.
I mean? So if my whole life is just working, that's not a life I'll ever want to live. You know, you ask anybody, I cherish my freedom.
I feel that.
I cherish my freedom.
How old are you?
25. Just turned
25.
Just turned.
Okay. See, that's where, because that's where it comes. That's where my dilemma comes in. Just because I'm about to be 39 in March.
Okay.
So you
Happy
know, 40.
Birthday.
Thank you, sir. Mm-hmm. The 40 is it's right there, and yeah. I'm like, what do I do? Like, as the age comes around, like, mm-hmm. what do I do with this number?
Do what
I mean,
you
it's
do.
Just a number.
It's just
yeah,
a number.
But also. My body is starting to catch up with that number.
I'm about to make a crazy R. Kelly reference, and I stopped myself. I said, hey, just a number.
Let it out, man. If it's in the head, let it out.
We can cut that right in post.
It bothers me because now, you know, I step one foot on the ground as soon as I get out the bed, and I don't know if that knee going to work properly. I'm like, man.
Sure, my back hurts now.
Oh, no.
Man, I think it's my posture. I think right here, what I'm doing right now to myself
Do you have
is
a
detrimental.
Wallet?
Yeah.
Do you sit on your wallet?
Nah.
Is it in your back pocket?
It's right here.
Okay,
seat
front pocket. That it's a big wallet. All right, that's good. Cause that's one of the things they never told us when we was getting older. Like, hey, don't put your wallet in your back pocket. And if you
that's
do,
messes you
don't
up.
Have a thick one. Yeah, don't have a thick wallet. And my dad, he has bad sciatic nerve problems now because he used to always have a thick ass wallet.
So you're rich, you get back problems.
That's yeah,
what I'm hearing,
exactly.
Man.
So exactly.
Broke people got nice like, backs. You know what I'm
just like Prince with them heels. He didn't know he was gonna have hip problems. He just like
got scoliosis,
heels.
Whatever
yeah,
that is.
Terrible. You gotta be careful when it comes to being rich and wealthy, you know. So those are one of the things that they don't tell you. Like, how do you meditate?
I pray. I mean, I may not meditate, but I do take time to relax.
Yeah,
if that makes sense. I mean, do I put my fingers up and do mantras? No.
Yeah. All right. That's what everybody thinks when they think about meditation.
No. But I take time to myself when I know I need it. If I'm really stressed out, I mean, I just need to just get away from the world. I go off the grid sometimes.
Yeah.
I can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I like going out to a nice lake.
Yeah.
Chilling. Man, we just went fishing a couple of weeks. But I love being on that water.
That is
But
nice.
I am also really competitive too.
Okay.
So when I saw everybody else around me catching fish and I wasn't, I didn't leave until I caught a fish. And then it started getting a little aggressive.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's really meditating if you're stressed.
I feel that. Deep water fishing, shallow water fishing, salt water.
Shallow.
It was
a lake. Yeah,
okay.
It's pretty shallow.
Yeah, you did say that. It's a lake.
Right off the dock.
Ah. Uh-huh. That's fun. So you don't mind dealing with fish and all that. Some people don't. Don't care to have the fish between their fingers and all that. I wish
I
could.
At the end of the day, I'm going to wash my hands. You know
what I
mean?
Fish with my wife. My wife don't like fish, though.
Nah,
she don't like
look, I touch a fish, lick my fingers a little bit.
Yeah?
No, hell no.
I was about to say, not the doctor
licking
the fingers.
You can let me slide, too. Oh, really? Really? That's what you do?
I was like, okay. Yeah, you'll know what's in that water.
Nah,
it's like,
but you know, worms, you know, put a worm on the hook.
Okay.
Nothing crazy.
Okay, that's what's up. Yeah, it's been a minute since I've been fishing, but my dad, he got a little pond in the backyard with like catfish and stuff inside. So, you know, that's the gratification that I get to be actually go fishing when I go there.
Because, you used to eat them?
No, not those. Because, like, there's only so many in that little bitty lake that he has.
That's somebody auntie in there.
Yeah, yeah, you got to put them back just so they can get bigger and you can catch them again. Because once you catch them one time, they get dumb after that.
Mm.
They just keep eating the bait. It's like, we feed them cat food just so when they're ready, they're like, oh, we come. And you throw it in there, bang, they hit immediately. And so the gratification of being able to catch fish back there, because when I'm on the lake and stuff, it doesn't happen. I'm not that good when it comes to fishing.
Yeah.
You know, but I do enjoy that moment of it. You know, I do need my tranquil times to myself. Most of the time, he broke his plate. But
damn.
My kids come to help him out.
Oh, there wasn't food on it.
Okay. I was about to say that is those are the times where it's like, man, I wish I would have ate that immediately.
Man,
that
break your heart right there.
Yeah,
that
does
break your heart
just a little bit.
And I don't play with food.
No,
I don't play. Matter of fact, the waiter last night, she tried to try to waitress. She tried to take my plate, I was like, whoa, I looked at my fork, make sure it wasn't a little piece on the end. I was like, you can take that.
No, I need every little bite. You can take that. I need every little bite.
That's an $8 side of mac and cheese. I need to make sure my... I need to make sure that's good.
You did say you take the cheap route around. You're like, no. I know how much that was. Let me finish this.
I calculate everything in my head. The bill, we bought a carafe, right? You know, for brunch. And she put out all of my checks. I'm like, oh, let me calculate this. So that's gonna be, I need everybody to send me 10.52. Nobody leave till I get that.
Give me my exact change.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know why she put that on my bill, but hey, all right.
Yeah, we got it. What's your favorite place to eat? Like, what is your? Oh yes. Yes, I love deep thinking.
Man, I don't even know if I got a favorite place no more, man. I love to experience new things.
What do you prefer to eat? Like when it like it's for your birthday. What did you go eat?
Where I go for my birthday? Man, I'm drawing a blank, and it just happened. Oh my god! I don't think I even did a dinner for real. I don't think I did like a dinner. Nah. We just, man. So my birthday, I came home. Everybody was in the crib waiting on me. They surprised me. Took me to the club. What else we do? Then we went karaoke. I do love me some karaoke.
I can't do karaoke. I can watch karaoke.
Yeah.
Just like being a comic that goes on stage and everything. I'm like, how you can't do karaoke?
I think it's a song for everybody, man. Yeah. I like to think I got at least like 5 songs ready to go every time I go.
You're just like my wife. My wife, she's like, she's the karaoke queen. When she goes to karaoke, she's like, okay, I'm going to play this song, and then I'm going to play this one, and I'm going to need backup dancers for this song. And so it's like, oh, okay. I'm glad I put these chairs right there. You see that the whole preparation set up?
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
just in case, because that lens right there, oh my goodness. Yeah,
I'm trying to get my girl to do it. My bad. I'm sorry. My brain was anchored on that last sentence. I'm so sorry. That was crazy. I was trying to get my girl to do this duet song with me next time we go.
What song?
Like You, Bow Wow's Era.
Oh,
I ain't never had nobody show me all the things that you done show me. I'm trying to have him do that one.
Just don't have a 50 Cent come around, because then that's how you lose Sierras. But yeah, I thought you was gonna take the Usher Alicia Keys route.
Oh, because me, of course. I like Bow Wow. I don't know what it is.
I feel you. Okay, a little Shad Moss in that situation. All right. Yeah.
I don't like how Usher been moving lately, man. The Keke Palmer situation didn't rub me white.
Oh. What, you know, but, I mean,
my girl not allowed to see Usher, like, ever. Like,
I feel that.
Like, ever. She can't see Usher. She can't see Drake. That's just...
My girl loves concerts. My wife, she loves concerts. And when she's scantily when she goes to these concerts. I'm not a concert goer because I can't normally see over people. So it's just like, nah, because if we ain't in the front.
I'm a short king too, man.
If we ain't in the front, I'm not, nah. Because, you know, women, it's easy for them to be like, oh, excuse me. Bang. Then, oh, go ahead, baby.
Women are aggressive at a concert.
Yes.
We got free tickets to, it was back in the day, Break the Internet concert, man. It was Meg Thee Stallion, Doja Cat, some other people, whatever. And I went with some friends. And Meg Thee Stallion said, hey, I need somebody to come on the stage with me. Wow. I'm in the back because I wasn't really tripping on being in the front. I'm in the back chilling, having a good time with some people. And then Meg said, I need somebody to come to the front. Bruh, I started jumping. Meg, me.
Hey, Meg, over here.
Meg chose me. I kid you not. And I said, whoa, me? She said, yes, you. I said, oh, hell. Everybody in front of me.
Boom, excuse me.
They see that she's they're making their way.
Yeah, right,
they're moving out. It's like,
oh, the sea's parted, huh? Come on,
Moses, I'm moving, right? Eventually, we get to the frontish area, and these girls, they got like a wall. Can't nobody pass. So then I'm like, all right, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm a crowd surf. So I got up. I had my people around me. They picked me up.
What?
That's how dedicated the back of the audience was to getting me
get out of here.
But it's them girls in the front who would not let nobody.
Like, no, we didn't get chosen. You ain't going to get up here.
Them Cheeto-eating women. It's them. It's a category of women. And you could tell they was the ones loud as hell in the starter class. Eating Cheetos, man. I don't know if that's derogative.
It sounds like they be eating Cheetos. That's
but let me tell you. So, man, so I start crowd surfing.
Yeah.
But the thing with crowd surfing is somebody got to continue to carry you.
Yeah.
I guess I didn't picture that. So the same women that wouldn't let me pass also dropped me.
That's not fair.
And, you know, I'm spread out like a starfish. Yeah. I kicked one of them on the way down. That was on me.
Boom, take that. That's what you get for being rude.
Fuck you for not carrying me.
You should have put them hands up, goddammit. You know what this one was. Man called me. Did you get to the stage?
No, no, no. by the time all that was over, Meg was already on to the next thing.
Oh.
Which I'm glad, because I realized she also asked three other people, and then she made them all do a twerk contest.
Oh, okay.
Now, yeah. I would never twerk. No. But I'm afraid of what I would do if Meg told me to.
I'd definitely
pop my ass. If Meg Thee Stallion looked you in the eyes and told you to do something, what would you do? I don't know.
I'm definitely popping some ass. I'm definitely.
I mean, I thought she was going to give me a dance. That's what I thought.
Oh, did you think that?
I ain't going to lie to you. She said, I need somebody on the stage. I thought I was going to get a chair and Meg was going to go to town.
Huh.
I was very confident, and that's what was happening. Right,
that'd have been like a turn of events, and man, she'd have been like, all right, now bend that ass over and let me see what it's working with. Let me see if your knees is as good as you think that it is.
And that's my crowd serving back.
Yeah, so like, oh, Mr.
All right, Meg, it's been real. I appreciate the dance now.
Yeah, I'm out of here. I can't go ahead and defile myself tonight. No, ma'am. Yeah, I've only been to so many concerts just because I'm not a big concert guy. Mm-hmm. My wife, she goes to all the concerts. She was almost there at that Travis Scott concert.
Okay.
The one where everybody got trampled.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah, but she couldn't find parking, so she came back home.
Thank good
but
for
I
her.
Was like, wow.
Hey, look at that. Look at that.
That day.
It was a bitch to hop them fences, man. I'll tell you what. I'm just I was not an extra.
God was there with her that day. It was like, oh, you looking for parking? I ain't no parking. Go home. And she came right back home. And boy, the thing she was wearing that night, I'm like, man, you wouldn't have made it out.
Oh.
You wouldn't have made it out wearing this. Not with all your clothes on. No.
Oh, yeah.
It would have came off because she made her whatever outfit she was wearing. I'm like, it was barely put together then. Mm. And I was like, oh. And she about as small as me. So, you know, being able to get out of a crowd that's stampeding. It's like, huh.
Did your wife come to your shows?
Oh, from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
Like she's
out here?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. She's been around for a minute now to where she's like, all right,
she's seen enough.
Yeah, I'm good. There's only so many times you can talk about assholes and shit. And now, you know, I'm not going to be like grandmama.
I'm telling you. I think the last time I heard you do it was at Bars Fest.
Yeah.
But keep in mind, I've heard it before.
Right.
Why is it still just as funny? Maybe even funnier. Like, did you change it? Did you do something?
No, it's just how I deliver it.
God, it's hilarious.
Yeah.
That was a great matchup.
Thank you.
Oh, my God. What's, I'm so sorry.
Which one?
Who you went against?
The
one he be freestyling all the time?
Yeah.
The potato pump. What's his name? I love that guy, too.
You know what? Because you're asking the question, I don't know his name at this moment.
That was your opponent, too. That's not, yeah, you're the rude one. All right? I'm just having a slip of mind. All right? That's unprofessional of you.
Yeah. It's... To do that on stage into like just certain places, every time I do it, I'm like, will this ever get stagnant? Like, at some point, she's like, no. It feels like at some point I shouldn't continue to do it.
That's when the audience runs dry, not you. Because that poem is hilarious. It's a funny poem.
That makes me feel so much better about it. How do you feel about when you repeat things?
Well, I like to think that. So, back at Triple P, that's my organization at Prairie View when I was president. I used to tell my poets, I look in the audience, it's different heads every time.
Mm-hmm.
It's different heads every time. Nobody who was here last week, maybe a couple of heads, but most of the time we get a new wave.
Yeah.
Man, you doing one poem every time, you're reaching new people every time.
Yeah.
Even at Avant Garden, it's always a different crowd.
That is true.
It's always a different crowd. Man, yeah. Man, I used to do one poem. I went on tour with one poem. And I'm just reaching different
what?
People. Man, a tour as in I drove from this open mic to this open mic to this open mic.
Okay, I feel that.
In the city of Houston.
Yeah, yeah.
But what I mean is, man, you reach so many people who haven't heard your words. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, I mean, blessed to all those who have 1,000 poems. But, man, doing one poem over and over again, even if they've already heard it once, maybe the minute since they last heard it, it's still... You know, still hits them differently. People listen to the same song a million times.
That is true.
People listen to the song a thousand times. You know what I mean? What's the difference with poetry? It still hits. It enlightens. It sparks their brains.
Ooh.
You know?
That spark. I love that spark.
You're hitting everybody someone different.
How do you deal with memorization?
Let my father tell you terribly. Man, you know, the problem is, man, here's the real problem. And it's, I try to be more professional.
Yeah.
I'm trying not to be someone who writes. I'm trying to be a poet.
Yeah.
The problem is that, man, what I do with my free time probably isn't always poetry.
Right.
You know, so it's like, man, how can I really take myself to the next level if I'm not investing in the craft like everybody else who I'm trying to perform with is?
Yeah.
And that's when you get left behind.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And my daddy tells me that all the time. He's like, Josh, you don't take it serious enough. You know, so memorization, man, I have a show next week. Man, I probably won't start practicing until 2 days before.
Maybe. Hey, but that's when I can cram, though.
You know, I'll be cramming.
Yeah.
But, you know, here's the problem with cramming is, and some people could do it. Man, if you got the skill to cram, then good for you. But me, I don't. Because, man, if I'm worried about memorizing, then I'm also not worried about how I actually perform it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Working on the pace, working on cadence, working on pauses. That's all important in a show. So, you know, and that's something I worked on. I've learned my lessons from a show that I've done really good at, or a show that I probably slacked on.
Mm-hmm.
And I've taken my lessons from that. Now, I also don't accept shows if I don't even get a 2 weeks notice. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I've learned that. Like, that's also, like, you know, respect for myself. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? When someone is trying to do a show, they be like, hey, man, I got a show tomorrow night. You want a feature? I tell them, nah. Mm. Someone told me, hey, my feature poet canceled on me. Can you replace him? I'm a replacement? Nah.
Yeah.
It's my show or it's not. You know,
yeah.
I mean, that's just having pride
in
yourself. So, and that's also because if now, let's say, boom, I'm out in the middle hanging out, doing whatever, and you tell me, hey, tomorrow night, can you do my feature? And now I go up, I don't do as good, I wasn't ready.
Yeah.
Now, boom, I look crazy.
Right.
You know, trying to help do you a favor. So I can't do that no more. So that's just respect for myself, having pride. You know, and you wouldn't do any other poet like that.
Right.
So I ain't gonna let you do me like that.
Yeah.
You know, but also, the flip side of that is, like I said earlier, stay ready so you don't gotta get ready.
Stay ready so you ain't gotta get ready.
I should always be ready for a show.
Yeah.
But because poetry isn't always my main thing in my life, I'm not always working on it. But I wanna fix that going forward.
Yeah.
So now in my free time, I do practice my poetry.
Mm.
So Outspoken Bean asked me, hey, man, do you have a set ready right now? I was able to tell him yes because I have been practicing.
Yeah.
Now I use my free time. I practice.
Okay.
I've been looking at, you know, watching more poetry. Watching poetry helps more than anything.
Huh.
Man, you get more inspired watching somebody else than sitting in your room practicing yourself.
I have ran across a few people.
Mm-hmm.
Black Chakra is a person. Obi mm-hmm. West was the first person that opened my eyes to, like, God damn it, there's another level to this.
Oh, man.
Oh, and then I ran into Black Chakra on Instagram.
Nice.
And I was like, this here, like, I don't even, just to sit down and break down his cadence in my head to see how he came about with what he's talking about,
mm-hmm.
because he used lots of references, like, from video games and anime and such.
Oh, yeah, I love that.
It just everything.
I'm nerd, like, bars.
Yo, like, I thought the level was here, mm-hmm. you know, because I do something where it's a different lane and people not doing this, but then he came with this, and I'm like, nigga.
And that goes back to what you said earlier, man, is what if I say something and people not really messing with it?
Yeah.
And I feel bad for people who are, I don't want to say more smarter than others, but they use a certain level of intelligence
yes.
that may go over people's heads.
Right.
You know what I mean? Especially with anime bars. Now everybody watches anime.
Right.
So it's like, who's he really up there spitting for? You know what I mean? I've been in the audience. It was, you know, a little open mic, a little small open mic. Somebody's on stage. His poem was great. He's using a lot of anime bars.
Yeah.
The audience don't watch anime. I'm the only one hyping him up.
Yeah, yeah.
But I made sure I let him know when he got off. Hey, bro, they may not have been rocking with you, but I know what you were saying.
I know what you were saying.
I love anime right with you.
You know what I mean,
man? So, and that's also what we got to do, man. Keep supporting poets, especially those who are just now trying out, man. They think they don't know any better. They don't know how much potential they have because
right.
maybe the environments, the people they perform with may not be in a poetry, may not be giving them the right kind of feedback. Man,
yeah.
So it's a lot of nurturing that you have to do, passing it on. Man, Kanai, man, I really appreciate her. She's been trying to help me out.
Yeah.
She'll see me come off the stage. She's like, Jay, you almost did it. But here's what you gotta start doing. Come work with me. And I gotta take her up on it. I need to. I really feel like, because like you said, it's always another level. I want to start working with people, you know, who are milestones ahead of me so I can start sounding different. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I can start really honing in on my craft and sounding like a professional.
That's what I've been telling myself, especially I've sitting down talking to myself, usually talking to the camera and shit. I'm like, there's different levels that you got, but also you can't get to that other level just by doing it by yourself.
Right.
Like, it's never going to reach that potential that you want if you don't get that outside help. And that is the thing that I have difficulties with, just because this is why this is all done by the lonesome, just because that means I have to bring somebody else into my bubble.
Are you open to criticism?
Yeah.
Like someone come up to you, a random stranger, hey, something about your set, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
How do you take that?
Yeah. I mean, I take it with a grain of salt. I'm like, oh, okay. And, you know, I try to capitalize on that criticism there and taking it and then tweaking it and doing something else with it. But most sometimes, because I know I am different, like in the beginning, people was like, what is this comedy poetry shit? Like when I was just a comic, people was like, what is this silly shit? Like, what are you like? This ain't like, yeah, I don't know. I don't think that's going to go anywhere, Kyle. Like, yeah, I mean, it's nice that you know, you're thinking outside the box.
Yeah.
But I don't think this is going to reach who you think it is trying to reach. And then now look at it now.
Now,
just like, hold on.
So now all good criticism is good criticism.
Yeah, right. I see that person now. They're like, hey, I didn't know. I'm sorry. Keep doing it. This shit is hilarious. And I know that from where it was, it just needed to get better. Like, because in the beginning when it started, I was like, I think I got something here. But it was very mediocre.
You know, they really don't see the picture sometimes.
Yeah.
We as artists, we have our own picture for things, and not everybody's gonna be able to see that until it actually comes to fruition.
Right.
I made a movie once.
Oh.
But when I was writing my script, my dad was like, Josh, you wasting your time, man. It's gonna be garbage. My dad, he'll keep it real with you.
Yeah.
My dad'll tell you, hey,
yeah,
that's not gonna work. That's gonna be ass.
That's gonna be
a whole lot of ass. And you know what? And I admit it, because the way I explained it, he couldn't see it like I see it.
Yeah.
But then once I got my people together, I got some actors, I got the cameraman, and I made a makeshift script. I ain't gonna lie. The script was kind of more like, hey, this is what happens in a scene. I want you to improvise.
Improvise.
I ain't gonna lie. I made a whole movie based off improvisation.
Hey,
but and that's what I didn't like about it. But guess what? The end result? I had a movie.
Yeah.
I had a movie. Now, was it Tubi worthy?
No.
Was it going to end up Tubi worthy?
No.
But for somebody who doesn't really consider himself a director to actually get scenes, compile them, special effects.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was like a home movie.
The hell with that shit? Made a movie, though.
I made a home movie.
Not everybody can say, hey, I made a movie.
I made two, actually.
You made two movies.
The first one was an undercover cop movie, but that was a high school project. The second one was completely independent.
Yeah.
I was also director and for both of them.
Boom.
Cast, direct,
check them out.
Editing.
Look them up if you need to.
Oh, you can't find these movies. You can try all you might. YouTube took them down for copyright infringement.
No.
Apparently, you can't use Kendrick Lamar's music in your movies.
Oh, definitely. Not if you don't ask.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, I DM'd them people. Morgan Freeman, you still owe me a response. I asked him to narrate it. All of a sudden, you too damn big to be in my whole movie. You know what I'm saying?
I made a little short, and I played Morgan Freeman myself.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I got to see that.
Yeah, it's on my YouTube. Okay. I did everything, and I pretended like I tried to do my best Morgan Freeman accent, and it was basically the Morgan Freeman from the in the jail, that one. The one where every dude trying to – Andy Dufresne. That Morgan Freeman, you know, the one where he's trying to escape jail?
Shawshank Redemption.
There you go, the shank.
I don't know why I couldn't think about it. It was just in the back of my head tinkling.
I use that Morgan Freeman voice. Not the Morgan Freeman from Batman, The Dark Knight. Not that
I
one.
Forgot I he was in there. He played Lucius Fox.
Yeah.
I know my
come
Marvel.
On. Come on now.
DC, damn. This is what I want to hype myself up. I know my DC.
Yeah, I'm a big Batman fan. But that's the only Morgan Freeman I can get in my head. And I know people that do it a lot better, but this is the only thing that I had. And it came because I had wrecked my car. Oh. And I needed something to talk about. And there was this thing a friend told me. She was like, man, just if you're going through problems, just write it down. And so I did. And so I wrote it down, and I was like, oh, this is something. And then I made it into a little bitty short. And once I was done with it, I filmed it and everything. I had my wife help me do a few shots and all that. I got a gimbal and shit, shot it with my phone. And then I sat down, and I finished editing, and I looked at it, and I was like, what is this? I didn't know what to do with it after that. I sent it to a friend. I was like, what this look like? This look like decent enough? She's like, I don't know what you're doing, Kyle. But, I mean, if you want to put it out, put it out. And I did. And it didn't do anything.
That's more of those, if you like it, I love it kind of things right there. That's exactly like what you said.
I mean, it's you. It explains you. But nobody really knows you. So do what you do with it. You know, do you feel good about it? I feel okay now after you told me all of this. You know, so this is how I go with criticism. You know, I take it in, and I'm like, all right, let me just, I put it out and then forget about it after that. And I set it and forget it, and then I move on to something else that it makes me feel gratification after doing it.
You know, criticism is a funny thing in the art world.
Yeah.
A lot of, you know, my dad has this thing where it's like, when you perform, you know, I'll clap for you. but I'm not going to tell you about it unless you ask me. If you ask me, I'm going to give it to you raw. I'm going to let you know. If not, hey, you're going to get these claps. Hey, good job, sport.
Yeah.
And I think that's funny because in the poetry community, man, it's all, you know, sunshine, love, peace, and hair grease.
Yes.
You know, and when you go a poem, you do a stage. Oh my God, Susie, that was amazing. Susie do that same poem in a slam. That was a four. So it's crazy how you're not gonna get the real.
That judgment hurts.
Till it's time to get judged.
Those judgments hurt.
You don't
right
get
there,
the real.
Definitely.
You know, it's all a little piece of hair grease until you
definitely
actually get critiqued. And Susie, it wasn't good. It's a four.
Do you have your parents came seen you perform?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No.
So you don't mind when your parents come.
No.
Yeah, I love it.
They get mad at me when I don't invite them.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Nice. Not too many people that I've had on here before I've asked. I was like, do you like when your parents? No! My parents don't even know that I do this. I'm like, damn.
And that's a lot of my friends, they don't even really care for poetry on them. I got a couple. But a lot of them, they just come to support me, not just necessarily the poetry. A lot of them be like, all right, when is he performing? Oh, that's it? Okay.
I have people that come at, when do you go on? I'm
that's
like, it doesn't work
about
that way. I don't know. I don't know when I go on.
And that's why I want more poetry friends. I've always said I want like an entourage of poets.
Yeah.
Like I texted them, hey, there's an open mic Tuesday night over at such and such. Y'all trying to roll together? Cool. Yeah. If I told my friends that, they're like, no. I would love that, man. I would love a group.
Oh, hell yeah. Well, we come around to the end.
Oh,
usually what I like to do before I get off, just to go ahead and break the monotony of everything that we've talked about, I got a game of choices.
All right.
Hey, okay, you got four options and four choices, all right? You got to be one, you got to raise one, you got to sell one, and you have a relationship with the other one.
Man,
okay?
Can I get that written down?
Yeah, definitely.
No, for real, man. I heard two things, and I heard the third one, lost the first one.
Yeah, okay. Be one of them.
Be one.
You got to raise one of them.
Raise one.
You got to sell one of them.
Sell one.
And you got to have relations with the other one.
Relations. So be one, sell one, raise one, relations.
And yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Relations, we're talking like marriage.
Just sex, however you feel.
Cool. All
okay.
Right.
And then your choices are, you got a mermaid, a mogwai.
What the hell is that?
Gizmo. You remember Gizmo from Gremlins? The little furry furball thing. You can't get them wet after midnight.
Well, I definitely ain't having relations with that thing. Oh, God.
So you got a mermaid.
The gremlins, okay.
You got a mogwai, you got a Mexican, and you got a manatee.
So, question.
Yes.
Is it before or after it eats meat, the gizmo?
You can't feed it after midnight. And
it in its regular state.
Yes.
Before.
Yeah. You don't have the gremlin. Mm-hmm. You got the mogwai, mm-hmm. and that's Gizmo.
Ooh.
And once it gets wet, and once it feeds after midnight, it turns into the gremlin.
Yeah. I got the rules now. I just want to make sure I get it in its stable form. Yeah. So, so little mogwai, mermaid, manatee, and a Mexican.
Yeah.
All
right,
well, I'm dating a Mexican right now, so relations with a Mexican.
Okay, I love it.
That was easy.
She said, I'm not even Mexican.
I've seen pictures of a mermaid. I ain't really seen no place I can stick it. So I finger her scales or something.
Jason Momoa's a mermaid.
Who?
Jason Momoa.
What the hell I want to do with Jason Momoa?
I'm just saying.
What?
No. You can't. I mean, Halle Bailey is a mermaid.
Did I say relations with a Mexican?
She's like, oh no.
Cut.
Okay.
So is Halle Berry the mermaid in question? Now?
You can go ahead, whatever mermaid you want. You can have any mermaid. This is your world here.
Be one, raise one, sell one. I'm selling Halle Berry as a mermaid. There's somebody on that black market that want Halle.
Oh, they definitely
sorry,
gonna make some
Halle,
money for it.
You know what? That's not even funny. Sex trade. My bad. That's not even funny.
And she's a mermaid.
That's a mermaid. You know, it's not gonna be nothing freaky with you. You're just gonna be in a tank. You're gonna be some rich guy's mansion's tank, just floating around. That's it.
They love it. They'll definitely play a good grip for that.
That's getting sold. Or maybe you might end up in a museum. You never know.
You never know.
Some laboratory, Area 53. Yeah. All right. So, selling the mermaid, relations. Damn, I gotta be a manatee?
Yeah.
You don't have to. Oh my God, wait a minute.
I love it.
I'm gonna raise a manatee, I'm gonna be a gizmo.
You're gonna be a mogwai.
I'm gonna be a mogwai.
I love it because every time people go, everybody has their own fingerprint when it comes to this.
You know,
this,
reverse
these choices.
Last minute, my bad. Reverse. I'm gonna sell the Maguire. Yeah. I'm gonna be a mermaid because after I get out the water, I get legs, right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. 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 Oh,
just
easy
like
money.
Just
easy
like
money.
The Disney movie. 13.
I will not be selling Halle Berry. I apologize.
Halle Bailey.
Halle Bailey.
You know, I don't know what I'm
you
trying
get
to say.
It. You understand which
you
one it
I'm
is.
The pregnant one with DJ.
So, yeah, be a mermaid. I'm going to swim and stuff. That's cool.
And I can face my fear of the unknown of the ocean, you know?
Okay.
See how that circles back.
I love it. All right, Jay. Let everybody know where they can follow you at, man.
Man, Instagram, Jada Sage 1, JadaSage 1, Jada Sage. Man, thank you for having me, man. It's been a funny podcast.
Hell yeah, man. Thank you for being on, man. Yeah. This has been Tell Me a Joke, the Guideline of Chasing the Dream. I've been your host, Maniacal Menace, Kyle Smith. Say the whole thing like a pimp named Slickback. And until next time, keep dreaming, Jokers. Oh, there it is.